How many of you know this thing that we're in with Jesus is alive? And it should be producing something in all of our lives. I'm so thankful for the truth that this isn't about religion and it's not about tradition, but it's about a real, living, vital union with Jesus Christ, who is the Son of the living God. And that makes all the difference in our life. Can you say amen? I want to talk to you for a few minutes this morning in our remaining time about how to live a fruit-filled life. Not a fruity life, a fruit-filled life. So if you've got your Bibles, take them out. If you've got your notes out of the bulletin, you can follow along there, and the scriptures will be on the screen. I was reminded as I was preparing this talk today about a story about a little boy who went over and was peeking into the garage and watching the neighbor pastor as he was doing some carpentry stuff in his garage. And he just stood there and he stood there. He thought he was unseen, and the pastor could see him out of the corner of his eye. And eventually the pastor said, "Little Johnny," he said, "what are you doing here today?" He said, "Are you trying to pick up some pointers on some carpentry skills?" And he said, "No, Pastor Smith," he said, "I'm just here to see what a pastor says when he hits his thumb with a hammer." How many of you know what comes out of us in those moments is a real indicator of what's on the inside of us? And what comes out of us is a true reflection of what we have on the inside of us. Now, my question for you this morning would be this: what if little Johnny was peeking around the corner of your house this week? What would he have seen and what would he have heard? Possibly when the lawnmower ran out of gas and you weren't finished with the lawn, or you opened the mail and that past due bill was there that you weren't expecting, or the dog dug up the flowers for the third time this week, or maybe in my case, the cat missed the litter box by two rooms. That was a big miss, wasn't it? But it really matters what comes out of us in those moments. The things that we say, the things that we do, the attitudes that we carry, the responses we have in our relationship and to the circumstances that we approach in life, because that's the real walking out of our relationship with Jesus Christ. Because what comes out of us in those moments is, guess what? It's who we really are. And who we really are is somebody that God wants to change. Everybody say change. Matthew 12:34 says that out of the abundance of our heart, who we really are is who we are in our heart. Out of the abundance or the overflow of our heart, it's going to come out of us. It says the mouth speaks. Whatever is in us in those moments, when we face that doctor's report we weren't expecting, when that spouse says those words that we didn't want to hear, when that teenage child does what we didn't want them to do, and when we get the pink slip from the job that we weren't expecting to get, who we really are comes out in those moments. Our lives as followers of Jesus, as sons and daughters of the King, in these moments should genuinely overflow with a response that resembles Jesus. Our lives should resemble Jesus. And the way that that happens is through the responses that we have during the days of our lives. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says this, that all of us have had the veil removed so that we can be mirrors that brightly reflect the glory of the Lord. And as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, do you know that the Spirit of the Lord's work in our lives wasn't completed when we got saved? He saved us, but it says, as the Spirit of the Lord works. Everybody say works. As He works within us, He is working within us today. Now, we may not be cooperating with the work that He's trying to accomplish, because many times we get about our own business, but the Spirit of the Lord is working within us. The Scripture says that we've had the veil removed. That means we've had salvation. For those of us who have come to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that's called salvation. And when the veil was removed, the Bible says that He began a good work, the Scripture says, and He will be faithful to what? Complete the work in our lives. That completion of that work is a fancy religious word, and we call it sanctification. See, salvation is saving grace in our lives. And are we thankful for salvation? But it didn't end there. There is a process that God is working in our lives so that our lives will reflect the glory of God in the earth. And that process is called sanctification. And that is transforming grace. That is the grace of God that comes to us where we are to change us into who it is that God wants us to be. God is into sanctification. See, sanctification is the outworking of the inner work of salvation in our lives. Listen to this. In Philippians 2:12, the scripture says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. What it doesn't say is work for your salvation. There's no amount of works you and I could ever do that would cause us to be in right relationship with God. The only thing we can do is believe that Jesus is who he said he was and receive him and make him the Lord of our life. And then we are saved and we are reborn internally. But the scripture says here then to work out into our lives what the work that God did deep on the inside of us and our spirit. Work out your salvation. The Christian life is all about gaining territory. Sanctification is all about becoming more and more like Jesus in every arena and every area of our life. If we've truly been born again, if we've truly been saved and experienced the saving grace of God, then God begins a work in our life to transform us, to sanctify us. And there is a transforming grace in our life so that we become more and more and more fashioned into the image of Jesus Christ. And that's called bearing fruit. And God has called us to live a fruit-filled life. Work out your own salvation. Verse 13, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. 1 Thessalonians 4:3 says this. So many people say, I don't know what the will of God is. I'm looking for the will of God. 1 Thessalonians 4:3 says this. This is the will of God, your sanctification. This is the will of God, your sanctification. This is the will of God, that our lives would be transformed and that they would be changed, and that what God did deep on the inside of us at salvation would only be the starting blocks of what he wants to do in us and through us. God wants to use us. Rick Warren said it like this. I had to give him props for this, but listen to what he said about our Christian life. He said, it's the Spirit of God using the Word of God to make the child of God more like the Son of God. It's the Spirit of God using the Word of God to make the child of God more like the Son of God. That is God's will for our life. Anything else is going to be icing on the cake. But what God is after in our lives is transformation. He is after a life that bears fruit for him and for his kingdom. Romans 8:29 tells us that we are predestined to be conformed into the image of God's Son. Listen how the Message Bible reads this. God knew what he was doing from the very beginning. Some of us need to remind ourselves of that this morning. He decided from the outset to shape the lives of those who love him along the same lines as the life of his Son. The Son stands first in the line of humanity he restored. We see the original and the intended shape of our lives there in Jesus. The original and the intended shape for our lives in the person of Jesus Christ. So any area of our life, any arena of our life that has not been transformed or has not been shaped so that it overlays on the top of Jesus and looks like Jesus, that is an area of our life that needs the transforming grace of God, the sanctifying grace of God in our lives. God is working in us. Now, some of us are more participatory. Let me say, some of you are more participatory than others, right? And to the extent that we're willing to allow the work of God to be completed in us will be the extent to which our lives bear fruit and bring God glory in the earth. See, the way that God brings glory in the earth is through us, through his children. And the more we allow him to work in us and to sanctify us and to change us, and we cooperate with that work, the brighter mirrors that we become to reflect the glory of the Lord. Colossians 1:10 says this, that we may walk worthy of the Lord. That's a heavy one right there. That we would walk worthy of the Lord. When we get up in the mornings, one of the first things that we should say is, God, today I want my life to be worthy of you. that we may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful. Everybody say fruitful. In every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. God has called us to live a fruit-filled life just like Jesus did. A life that displays His power, His character, and His love in the earth through the fruit that our lives bear. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 8, I love this scripture. In the Amplified, it says this, "Bring forth fruit that is consistent with repentance." That word repentance means a change in your life. Repentance is when we change 180 degrees. It says, bring forth fruit in your life that's consistent with the change God is working in you. And then it goes on to say in the Amplified, let your lives prove your change of heart. Our lives on a daily basis, no matter what we're facing or what we're walking through or who we're up against, should be proving the change that God has brought in our life. That is called the fruit of the Spirit. Our fruit is the proof of God's work in our lives. Because no matter how you slice it, a healthy tree can't bear unhealthy fruit. And an unhealthy tree can't bear healthy fruit. The fruit of our life is the telltale sign. The external fruit in our life is the telltale sign of the condition of our heart. And God wants to change the condition of our heart. I want to talk to you for a few moments this morning about living a fruit-filled life. And I want to take our text, I want to read to you this morning real quickly from the book of John chapter 15. And this was a moment in time, a snapshot in history, if you look at it, where Jesus was with the people that He had walked with and mentored and poured Himself into. And He was getting ready in just a few hours, He knew, to go to the cross. And He was going to be dying and separated from them. And so He was with them in the upper room. They took the Last Supper. He took the towel and He got down and He washed their feet. And after He washed their feet, I can see them departing from that room and coming down the stairs and beginning their journey to Gethsemane. And on their way, they walk through, I believe one of the beautiful grape vineyards in the nation of Israel where they produce those grapes. And it was in this context that Jesus related to His disciples one of the most compelling truths that He could leave with them, because He was getting ready to leave them and He was telling them things that mattered the most. And in John chapter 15, verse 1, it says this. It says, "I am the vine and My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in Me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes that it will" what? "Bear more fruit." We're talking about living a fruit-filled life. "You are already clean because of the words which I've spoken to you. Abide in Me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in Me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in Me and I in him bears much fruit. For without Me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in Me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them, throw them in the fire, and they're burned. But if you abide in Me and My words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it will be done for you. By this is My Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be My disciples." Point number one is this: a fruit-filled life is God's design for His sons and daughters. From the very beginning, we can see that God's purpose for His creation was to bear fruit. He created man and woman in His image and placed them in a perfect garden. And He told them what? To be fruitful and to multiply. See, our lives were designed to bear God's fruit. Let that sink in for a minute. We are designed and we are purposed to bear God's fruit. Verse 16 of John 15 said this. It said, "You didn't choose Me, but I chose you and I appointed you that." There's a lot of things He could have said there. There's a lot of things that "I've chose you and appointed you to do." But what He said was, "I've chose you and appointed you that you should go" and what? "Bear fruit," and that this fruit would remain. The only fruit that's going to last in our life is the fruit that comes from the Spirit of God. Everything else that we achieve in this life, everything else that we build in this life, everything else that we pursue in this life and we prioritize in this life that is not of God, that is not a fruit of His kingdom and of His Spirit, it will not remain. But we were chosen and we were appointed to bear fruit for God in the earth. We are called to bear fruit. You know, you hear people say all the time, "Well, I'm called to do this and I'm called to do that." You know, it's where we get mixed up sometimes in our Christian walk. It's where we get into a misunderstanding. It's, you know, I'm called to this dream and I'm called to this ministry and I have this gift that I'm going to use and I want to build this kingdom. And all those things are external and visible. But that's so oftentimes where we miss it in our lives. Those things are important. Those things have their place, but they aren't primary to God. They are not the starting point in our lives. God's fruit focus isn't on what man exalts and sees as being important. Accolades, recognition, applause, and the approval of man is not what God is after. But the fruit that he is after in his sons and in his daughters' lives. I like that better than disciples. Yes, I'm a disciple and yes, I'm a follower, but I'm a son of God. And you're a daughter of God or a son of God, and you've been chosen and appointed for a purpose. And that purpose is to bear fruit, to look like Jesus, to display the glory of the Lord in the earth. And you say, me? Yes, us. The Spirit of the Lord God dwells within us. And what God is after is fruit that is born deep on the inside of us, in the heart of a man. Not firstly the accomplishments we achieve, but rather the person that we become. God cares a whole lot more about our heart than he does our hand. Because he knows the hand could never go beyond where the heart truly is. The fruit that he wants us to bear in our lives first and foremost is a fruit that no one else can see but him. When Samuel went to Jesse's house to anoint the next king of Israel, even the man, the premier man of God on the planet at the time didn't have this revelation. He walked into the living room and there were seven sons there. And he said, surely this is the next king of Israel, Eliab. Look at him. I can see his life. I can see how strong he is, how good looking he is. I can see he's kingly. I can see all these things about him. And God said, hold up, Samuel. There's something you need to know. All of the external things that man values and applauds are not things that I value and applaud at all. The thing that I care the most about is not what a man is going to do, but who he is. He said, man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. When God was looking for someone to crown king, he passed right by all the external characteristics and he went straight to the heart. Later on, he said this about David. He's a man after my own heart. God is looking to develop fruit deep on the inside of us so that we have the power and we have the stability to produce the fruit of his kingdom in our lives. Because there's basically two kinds of fruit that we're all asked to bear in our lives. First is internal fruit, if you're taking notes. It's the internal fruit. And the internal fruit is who? Everybody say who? The internal fruit is who we really are. The internal fruit is our character. It's the true spiritual condition of our heart. The external fruit in our lives is what we do. The internal fruit is who we are. The external fruit is what we do, our outward actions. But the outward actions, the external fruit, is going to always originate from the internal fruit. Now listen, I'm sure some of you may have, like we do on our bar, some artificial fruit. Anybody got some artificial fruit in your kitchen? Ours is ceramic. I think we got it in Mexico one time. And it's really pretty and it's really cool and it's really decorative. But it's not something that you want to eat. Okay? So sometimes in our life, we can facilitate what looks to be like fruit in our lives. But this is not fruit that is born of the Spirit. And if it's not born of the Spirit, it's not going to be fruit that remains. God knows that ultimately anything produced through our life is going to originate in our heart. And he wants to cause our heart to be like Jesus. Philippians 1:11 says this, may you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ. For this will bring much glory and praise to God. See, our fruit is our character, which is produced in us by Jesus for the purpose of manifesting God's name and glory in the earth. God is interested in building our internal fruit. And that internal fruit, he says here, is character. And that character can only be produced by him. It's him that is all the while at work within us, wanting to produce in us what he knows that we need for our journey, what he knows that we need for our future. So what does this fruit look like? He gave us a list of the fruit in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? You know this. We don't get excited about this. This doesn't seem like a very anointed passage of Scripture. But do we understand that this list is the foundation for anything that God can ever do in our lives? Now, we can fool ourselves and we can fool other people and we can do all this flash in the pan stuff out here. But in reality, until this foundation is laid in our life, God will not be able to do anything in our life. Because God will never take us where our character can't sustain us. Let me say it again. God, our loving Heavenly Father, loves us too much, knows too much, cares about us too much to carry us somewhere where our character can't sustain us. He's not going to take us in harm's way. He's not going to put us in a position that will crush us. He's not going to put us in a person's life that's going to destroy them. If we go God's way, He will never take us somewhere where our character can't sustain us being there. Now, all of us have been in places that God didn't take us. Oh, God, take me over there. That's where I want to be. And then we start moving that way. And all the time, God's saying, you need some love before you get over there. I got some character I need to form deep down on the inside of you. Hold up. It's not time for you to go there yet. And we're over there. God is blessing me. And how many of you know that turns out to be a disaster? God will never carry us where our character can't sustain us. The fruit that God wants us to develop in our life is not flashy and it's not external, but it's internal and it's primary and it is the will of God. It is love and joy and peace and long suffering and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Because out of the abundance of my heart will be the overflow of my life. See, we often want God to open the door to our calling when God wants to take us through the door of forming our character. We want this, but God says, this is what you really need. God knows what He's doing, and how many of you know we can trust Him? See, David had an external calling. God does have things in this world. Otherwise, he could have developed us up there. But He left us here because we're to be salt and we're to be light, but we're to bear fruit. What is fruit good for? You like ice cream? Huh? Here's how I like my fruit. I like strawberry ice cream, right? Peach ice cream, right? But fruit is nourishing. Fruit is life-giving. Fruit is life-providing, life-transforming. He wants us to provide that in this earth. David had an external calling that God wanted to fulfill in his life. He wanted him to be the king. But before David could be externally crowned king for everyone else to see, he first had to be internally fashioned kingly, where only God could see. See, we're all about the outside and God's all about the inside. Yes, David, I want you to go there and that is my plan for your life. And I'm calling you to go there. But before you can get there, we've got some work to do. Before that fruit can ever come forth, there's a whole lot of other things that need to be worked on the inside. Ephesians 2:10 says this, that we are His workmanship. We are His workmanship created in Christ for good works that God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. What the Scripture tells us is this, is that God's got to work in us before He can work through us. Now, this is a journey and it's an ongoing fashion. It's not that I have to wait till I'm perfect one day, but it is that when we follow the Lord, He will never take us somewhere that He hasn't prepared for us to be. And our life is mostly about preparation. Our life is mostly about the forming of Jesus in our lives. It seems like it's very few arrival times because God's got His hand full with us. He has much work to do in our lives. And we've got to learn to embrace sanctification. We've got to embrace transformation. We've got to embrace whatever it is that God needs to do in our life during this season. But what the enemy does is he tries to get us our eyes off of what it is that God is truly doing on what it is that we think He should be doing. And we're asking God to do things that He's not needing to do at the time. And we get frustrated with God. Did Peter have an external calling? Was he going to do great things for God? Yes, but did he have some internal formation that had to take place? You know, have you chopped off anybody's ear? You know, have you Have you rebuked Jesus yourself in person? You know, cursed him and turned your back on him in his hour of need? See, God wants to form something in us so that he can build something upon us. So many times we're frustrated at God because he hasn't done something for us, all the while he's trying to do something in us. We want God to do something for us while he's trying to do something in us. Many times in our life, our frustration with God and with... So have you ever been frustrated at God? Y'all aren't honest people. We're going to have an altar call for liars in just a minute. This is confessional time on the Bible. How many of you have ever been frustrated with God? How many of you are frustrated with God right now? So you don't have to raise your hand for that one. That's a little too personal. Many times we're frustrated at God because he's not doing something for us while he's trying to do something in us. Could we stop today and ask the Lord? Oh, these circumstances are overwhelming. These circumstances are frustrating. I want to be over there. But wait, God, what do you want to do in here? God, what do you need to do in here? Many times we're reaching past what God must do in us, trying to reach for what we want him to do for us. But he's such a loving heavenly father that he's not going to shortcut laying the foundation in our life. Because anything that we would try to build on a foundation, the scripture says, other than Jesus, how many of you know it's not going to stand? He cares about our inside. He cares about the condition of our heart. He cares about the fruit that we're bearing inside. He wants to develop things in us so that he can do things through us. See, the fruit of the Spirit is the foundation for anything that God wants to build in our lives. See, God isn't so much impressed with our gifting. You know, he created it and he gave it to us. He's more glorified with our fruit. See, a fruit-filled life is God's design. The transformation of our heart and in our lives into the image of Jesus Christ. A transformation of our character to reflect the very nature of God in our marriage, to our children, in our neighborhood, in our church, in our community, so that we could declare, as it's declared in Hosea, I am like a green cypress tree. Your fruit is found in me. Your fruit is found in me. Your fruit, God, is found in me. Because when we are willing to cooperate with God, he will develop in us what we need. And out of that overflow will provide for us what we need. See, we're looking for this to change so that this can change. But listen, if God hasn't worked it in us, then it can't come through us. I can't give something away. I can't produce something that I don't have in my life. I'm waiting for my circumstances out here to get joyful when all the while Jesus is saying, in me your joy is full. And until we can get to the place where we allow the Spirit of God to bring us into a place of transformation where that fruit, which is a process, to be worked into my innermost being, where that joy is there. My joy is full in him. It's not based on my external circumstances. Things in this life can come and go, but because that fruit has been developed in my life, I'm not up today and down tomorrow based on what you say to me or where I have to go or what I'm doing, but I have the joy of the Lord that it's birthed inside of me. You know, when this storm is finally over, I'll be at peace. That's not the way it works. You ever got out of a storm and still not been at peace? Peace comes from the Spirit. It is a fruit that has to be worked in our life. When that fruit is worked in our life, and here's the thing. Peace usually isn't developed unless we're in anxious situations. Seasons of anxiety. Seasons that would be fearful. Seasons that would be worrisome. I'm in the midst of that storm. And all the while, the Spirit of God is trying to work in me, deep down in my heart, filling me up with a fruit that can sustain me. So that if I can get it in my life, then I can step out into the external circumstances and it can come through me and change my atmosphere. But until we allow the fruit of God, the character of God to be developed in me, guess what? We're probably not going to move from this place. Because God is never going to take me where His fruit that He's developed in my life can't sustain me. He is going to develop me. So that means we have a lot to do with living a fruit-filled life. God wants to develop fruit in our life. See, the level of anointing that's in our lives will always be dependent on the depth of God's character within our hearts. See, His anointing and His power and His influence through us can never exceed the character that we've allowed Him to form in us. Now, we may be the most gifted, which I'm not. We may be the most gifted individual in the room. We can walk in, we might can sing more beautifully, and we may be the most handsome, we may look the best, and we might be the whatever. We may have all of the giftings, but giftings aren't anointing. Giftings aren't power. Fruit is power. Character is power. It's the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Where we say, God, whatever it is that you need to work in me so that it can come through me and influence my situation, God, I want you to do it in me. So while we're praying that God would make our marriage better, like a genie, right? Poof, better. God's saying, do you want me to just fix it so you can mess it up again? Do you want me to just fix it without working love in your heart, working forgiveness in your heart, without getting rid of the bitterness and the selfishness that you have in your heart? Because it's not going to work that way. Because what's in you is coming out of you, and what's coming out of you is influencing your situation. Oh, God, give me a raise. Give me a promotion. Give me that better job. And God's saying, you're asking for this, but what you need to be focusing on is this. Until you become a person who is surrendered and everything that I have belongs to you, and I steward what you give me, and I love to bring the tithe into the storehouse, and I love to be a giving person, and I love goodness and kindness and all of these things, and I'm not about anger, and I'm not about control, and I'm not about a power trip and ego, and He can't give me this until He's worked this. See, God's called us to live a fruit-filled life. But it doesn't start all out here. It starts deep down on the inside. He didn't say it was easy. He just said it was necessary. We will always have out here what we have in here. And until what's in here changes, then out here can't change. We can medicate it. We can ignore it. We can counsel it, but until the Spirit of God is allowed to change it, it'll never change. But how many of you know that He can change it? Because we bring with us what we have in us. Do you know that we can come in to a very tough situation, and that tough situation can change because of the Spirit that's on the inside of us? We can come into a very unlovely situation. We might have a family that's at war with one another, but because we have the fruit of love developed in our life, that love can come in that situation and it can begin to change it. There is power in the fruit. There is power in the Spirit. There is power that is deposited in our life as we allow the character of God to be formed in our life. How many know if we have peace in us, then there can be peace through us? If we have joy in us, then there can be joy through us. To our situation, to our circumstance, regardless if our circumstance has changed whatsoever, we can walk in joy, we can walk in peace, we can walk in love. See, all those things are only produced by the Spirit. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you're going to bear fruit. Apart from God, we can do nothing. If fruit is not being birthed and being born in your circumstance, then it hasn't been born in your heart. God's called us to live a fruit-filled life. Because God wants to do great things in us, and He wants to do great things through us. And how many of you know, I want to close right here with this. We're just getting started on this. The scripture says that wherever the river flows, there is life. Wherever the river flows, there is life. When we allow the Spirit of God to flow deep on the inside of us, when we connect with Him and when we abide with Him and we allow His words to abide in us, and when we say, God, we want Your will, Your way, and we allow that river to flow, how many of you know that it's going to produce life? It's going to produce fruit. So it's not an external decision, it's an internal decision to embrace the processes of God, to embrace the process of sanctification, to receive the grace of transformation, to say, God, that I want to do it your way. I'm going to go your way because it's the safe way, it's the protected way, it's the right way, it's the way I was designed to go, and God, I'm willing to go your way. And the enemy's going to say, it's hard, and it's not good, and it's slow, but God, I thank you that you're making me patient, and that you're making me long-suffering. Well, people are mean, and they're not friendly, and God, you're making me kind, and God, you're causing me to be good, and God, that you're causing your love to spring forth in my life. Wherever the river goes, there is life. If you could just quickly stand to your feet, we're going to be dismissed with a course, a worship course. And what I'd like for us to do, if you just close your eyes, in the midst of this worship course, all of us have things in our life, if we're honest with ourselves, that need to change. And many of us have been focused on the wrong thing. And I believe in this moment, as we say to God, we surrender. We want your river to flow in us. We want to have your life flowing in us. We want you to produce fruit within us. Produce the character of Jesus within us. Lay the right foundation within us, God, so that you can do externally, God, what you've already done internally. Be it in my marriage, be it in my finances, be it in my children, be it in my destiny, be it on my job, whatever's going on, be it in my health. God, that I would come to a place of trust. So if that's you this morning, no one's looking around, just lift up your hands to the Lord and say, I surrender to the Master. I surrender to the work of the Spirit. I want you to produce fruit in me. Produce fruit in me. I embrace the season that you have me in. Let this season produce more of Jesus, that I might bring you more glory in Jesus' name.